Tuesday afternoon, February 15th.
Lord, bless our time together, that your spirit would flow, your truth
yes.
would flow, your light would be upon
yes.
all that we do by your spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, your hand upon it. Mm.
So it's funny that I started reading that, and immediately I just got this, I don't know what it's like, yeah, it don't matter what you bring, my God's greater.
That's
you know?
Ezekiel 38, 39?
Yeah, the chapters he's mentioned to read all three. You know, so.
Yeah, okay.
But he was saying it from the tape.
Oh, yeah, Ezekiel 38, chapter 38, 39. And it just, I don't know, it's like I could just hear, because God's speaking through the prophet, and he's saying, I will, you know. And it's just like I was just right there with him. You know, it was like, yep, you're our God. Doesn't matter what they bring, how big an army or whatever, you're going to prevail, you know. And so it's kind of like in the any thing coming up in the days ahead, don't be concerned. Our God can handle it.
Okay.
If you put your trust in.
Yeah.
You know, so, anyway.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I wanted to see the origin of some of these names. Like Magog and, you know, some of the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
And Magog was actually, was a son, was Japheth, one of Japheth's, I think it was Japheth's firstborn. And some of the other names of some of Noah's children are the ones that are found in, you know, 38 and 39 of Ezekiel. And which doesn't really necessarily mean anything, but it's like, why would God call them that? You know, we don't have any names, Magog or anything like that today. But why would they call them, why would he call them that in Ezekiel? And I started looking at it and I thought, you know what? God is a person of any generation. And, you know, nothing changes to him. Well, I shouldn't say it doesn't change, but Magog 200 years ago is still Magog.
Uh-huh.
Or 2,000 years ago, still Magog. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of up to us to do a little looking and see if it means anything and so forth, but for years I have felt that Magog and Togarmath and many names are in the scriptures, that it has something to do with the end time, and especially when you read Ezekiel 38 and 39, and somewhere in the Bible, it says that God is going to bring vengeance upon those nations that have wreaked havoc on Israel. You know, and I don't know where it is, but somewhere I read that that God is going to. He's going to demand, vengeance or something on those that have mistreated his people. And I think was Brittany telling you the other day, she thought that maybe she said she told somebody, I don't know who it was, and her and I talked about it, that what would they call that? Israel. When they were mistreated in Germany.
Oh, the Holocaust.
The Holocaust. That the Holocaust could easily have been Because the Jews said, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. It could have been. I mean, that's a kind of a harsh, weird thing that they went through. You know what I mean?
It certainly was.
And the thing is, you know, even like my dad, he had no time for the Jews. He just never did. And there's some German in our background and so forth, but he used to guide fishermen up on the you know, what's it called, those lakes? Rice Lake, Mud Lake.
Chippewa Flores?
No.
Chain of Lakes?
No. What are those two? There's a name for them. I lived right there and I still don't know. I can't think of it. But anyway, and he'd guide for the Jews a lot of time, for Jewish people that he knew. He was a good muskie fisherman. And he'd cuss them out. Oh, he'd cuss them out afterwards. And I think, well, you took their money for doing it. Don't swear at him. Don't cuss him out. But he used to, you know, there was a time when there'd be a slang statement. Today I shot another you. Did you ever hear that? Mm-hmm. Well, he used to say that. A statement. It was just a statement. And the Brandsteiners, which we knew, they came from Germany, and they were there before the Second World War. But they hated the Jews because Hitler built it into them.
Well, that in 1938. I think it's addressing the fact that he's bringing vengeance against those who were against his people, because that's who he's talking about, why he's going to treat them the way he was going to treat them in there.
There's quite a few references to vengeance, but Old Testament Micah 5:15 says, I will take vengeance and anger and wrath on the nations that have not obeyed me. I will pour out my vengeance on all the nations that were refused obey me, which I think is kind of the direct quote that you were, but, you know, Hebrews 10 mentions, you know, vengeance is mine.
Well, there's somewhere it says, I will take vengeance on those who, oppose my people. You know.
Yeah.
Well, I just read it in, where was it? Thessalonians or somewhere, where Paul says, you know, there'll be vengeance for those who aren't walking.
Romans
haven't accepted the gospel.
Yeah. There is, you know, it does say, my blessing will be on those who bless Israel. And I think, and then it goes on to say, and my cursing will be on those who curse Israel.
You know, I was just thinking, see, there's instances all through the Old Testament, like the Holocaust. But because that was so recent to us in our modern day, we didn't look at, well, who knows how they looked at it back in those days too, you know? Yeah. I mean, the outsiders or whatever, it was like, because it was out, there were so many times when God says, well, if you're not, I'm gonna tear down the walls and they're going to take you away into captivity and da-da-da and tell you, call on my name again, mm-hmm. You know? So sometimes, yeah, it's God's working, you know. But then after the Holocaust and stuff, then that's also when that prophecy comes true that I'll call them back from every part of every nation, you know. And that's when they all started going back to Israel.
It's like they broke the curse.
Yeah, right. That, just that little instance was partial to my being born again. So I was reading that book 80s countdown to Armageddon. And he mentioned that, when God started calling Israel back, the people of Israel back to their home. And I went, I remember something about that. And then it had my attention. And by the end of the book, I had given my heart to the Lord. Mm. Kind of weird.
Well, it was a remarkable thing.
Yeah. And it's like he took that and just imprinted that in my head and made that be the one thing that got my attention to come to him.
I've often thought Ezekiel 37:3 has been very impactful to me. And it says, "And he saith unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered him, O Lord God, thou knowest." I'm thinking, boy, what a simple verse to guide your walk. How's this going? You know God. Yeah. What about this? You know God. Mm-hmm. Say, what can God do? Can we do this? Mm-hmm. You know. I'm not saying I know. You know. But and he shows him this really desolate scene and says, "What do you think?" He says, "Can this happen? You know."
That reference you said, like, may God could 2,000 years ago. Yeah, it's more or less. It's not an individual. It's a happening. He could have enforced that more than once through the years. Through the centuries, but it's going to also happen at the end of time. And it just seemed more clear reading that because they're going to form and they're going to want to come against Israel. And probably us, because we want to stand by Israel.
And friends of Israel, yeah.
Yeah. And that's where, if most of the world wants to come against Israel, then a lot of the people in this country will start giving in to that sentiment, because they just think, we don't want to be standing here on our own. We better go along with them, And that'll not be good to do that. It's like there's certain ones now, they're really siding with China.
A lot of countries are.
And then a lot of people in our government, because I think they're making money, on little dealings and allowing certain companies and stuff, and they're part of that company, and
what God said to Abraham was that I will make of thee a great nation, will bless thee, make thy name great, and I will also bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. Mm-hmm. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That was what he said to Abraham, one of the promises. Mm-hmm. It's funny that there should be that antagonism that your father, those people had toward
Jews. I can remember that too. And I might, without even knowing what I was doing, probably had some sentiments just because I heard other people. Uh-huh. The implication kind of is that they're so tight, they take all your money and they never give it back, or whatever. There was something about, because they were always prosperous in what they did, wherever they were, in whatever country, normally,
Mm-hmm. Well, they look after their own, and they're outsiders. And why should they be, tied in? I mean, I get it.
Yeah, right.
But then I get the antagonism, too, I guess.
Sure, yeah.
Well, there's a scripture in the, Jesus, it was attributed to Jesus, I think, but it says that they hated me without a cause.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, so that is a reality. And yet, the cause is because they were God's people. Mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
The devil hates whatever belongs to God.
Well, that's the other thing. They wouldn't compromise on things, certain things. You know.
Sure.
They wouldn't compromise on their God and the certain ways they did things, you know. No different what Muslims do now. They got to pray. They're supposed to pray, you know. So.
Yeah. You know, if everyone loved the Jews, they'd marry them. Then they wouldn't be Jews after too many generations.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, they've said, Jews have said, well, they're killing off the Jews. They're not doing it by persecuting them. They're doing them by marrying them.
You know, so, yeah.
We lose that. But they did provide the Messiah, provided Jesus. You know, without the Jews, there would be no Jesus.
But that was God's undertaking.
Yeah.
You know, God had His hand on Abraham and
Abraham and Judah and
yeah.
David and you know.
Well, he had to pick 8 people, and that was the people he picked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't. Is Adam considered a Jew?
Well, I don't think so. He's
right. He's just considered a man, right?
Right.
And then somehow the people that ended up there, God said, "These
That's
are my
interesting.
People."
Interesting. I never thought of that.
Yeah. No. Yeah. He's a.
He could be, couldn't he? I mean, if you, well, because there was no country established.
I think
well,
he
was
the father of everybody,
right?
So,
yeah.
Know,
why were they called Jewish?
Why was who called Jews?
Anybody.
Why
did they call them Jewish?
I don't know if it's short for Judah. You know, they come from the tribe of
Judah. To do a Judah, Jewish, yeah.
We'd say that Abraham was the first Jew, but he wasn't, you know, because it would have been Isaac. You know, Abraham was the father of Ishmael, who was the father of all the Arabs. So.
But at some point, a group of people were like considered this group of people, and at that point, you know, God said, "You are my people." You know, He was talking to those. The prophets were coming out of that line, and He said, you know. And they knew enough to know that He was their God, and as He said, "Then you are my people," and He took ownership of them.
Yeah.
And then after that, it was like, "This is what we're going to do. We'll let you clear these people out. We'll clear out those people." And you know, I heard a comment one time that the whole problem with Palestine and Israel is, and some guy says, you know, there's 3 things that got to happen, and the first one is. You have to agree that God is not a real estate agent.
God did what?
Not a real estate agent. I mean, because God said this is your land. And so you go, oh no, God is not a real estate agent. He doesn't tell you, you build your homes here. Well, actually the scriptures say exactly that.
Yeah, I think God is a real estate agent.
He kind of is a real estate agent. And so, in order to get to the 2-state solution, you go, well, the first thing you got to do is you got to acknowledge God's got better things to do than decide who lives where. Well, a lot of the Bible kind of would say that's not exactly true.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you better start with, well, the Bible's not real. And then you can get So you have to ignore everything the Bible says about this is God's people on the land that He gave them. You know, He went quite a bit out of His way to ensure that it was their land by having them basically drive people off of His land.
I've heard the Israelites being criticized, severely criticized. They've got such an obsession with the land. Come on, get over it, Jews, Israelites, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I think their problem is that they read the Bible.
So when was the actual Israel and Judah established?
Well, Judah was one of the sons of...
And because Moses was leading the Israelites out of Egypt, right? So it was before that. Before Moses.
I guess maybe there were the 12 tribes that would have come over. You know, Joseph...
Oh, it must have been... It was when they... Elijah, and when they crossed over the river and went into the Promised Land. That's when God started dividing up the tribes, right? With who was the one that led him after that?
Joshua.
Joshua.
They certainly did divide up the territories that for the tribes at that point. Right?
I would say that's probably when they started being more or less a nation.
Maybe.
No. Funny, you don't think of stuff like that all this time when you read and everything, you know?
Yeah.
And then I just popped into my head, well, actually, when did they start being the Israelites?
Now, you know, the Jewish festivals or whatever, you know, Passover occurred when they were in Egypt.
You
know?
Yeah. Right.
So, and all the great promise. So Moses is certainly a...
Well, that's when God moved them all as a nation, I guess.
And yeah. And,
so actually, they were totally in captivity, more or less, right?
Yes, they were. Yep.
By Egypt?
Yeah. The word Jew originates with the ancient Israelite kingdom of Judah.
Yeah, I thought so too.
But what his name means is a matter of great controversy.
They gave Judah the name Judah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, God tells Moses, he says, I have heard my people's wails. And he wasn't referring to just the tribe, to all the tribes.
All 12 tribes.
All 12 tribes. But then he kind of sets up the priests of the tribes, and then that kind of became the line, and then even he allows a split. The two tribes. One of them was.
They give Joseph two sons.
They had the one on one side of the river and the other, but there were the 10 tribes were kind of over here and following this, and the other two kind of stayed more pure. I can't remember. I think one of them was the priest,
Levites.
The Levites, and one was the other. There was like two of them there, but it was interesting. But then that ended up being, and then they were kind of fighting with each other. But God brought that.
Yeah, because there was an Israel and there was a Judah that were separate for a while, and then eventually they became one.
Yeah.
I don't know if they did though. I think it became Samaria. The northern tribe became Samaria, and they were never, you know, highly regarded. They were foreigners here for the.
They broke away.
Because who was that? What, there was the one Jacob, wasn't he from Judah or something?
He was would have been the father of Judah.
Yes.
Yeah. So. And the son, he was in conflict with
Esau. Yeah.
Esau, right?
Yeah,
his brother. Esau and Jacob.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't mean necessarily to go down a rabbit hole, but it is just there's things to be thought, and God did keep His hand on that line, and all the promises came through that line, and so Scripture was fulfilled, you know. But you know, he had to pick a group of people.
Well, sure, there was still a Judah at Jesus' time, wasn't there?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
because he came out of Judah. Actually.
Yeah.
Right,
he was
right.
Lion of the tribe of
Judah.
Right.
So
he's all outside of.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of lined up. I mean, it was perfect, and you know, that's the.
Which has always been an area that was confusing to me.
Yeah, I guess
was it Judah Israel? Well, I thought they were the same.
Well,
really, but
that's kind of why I threw the grenade out there, like, well, you know, we didn't really talk about Jews when Adam, when God created Adam, but it was later when he decided that he was going to pick a people, and that was the people he picked.
Yeah.
And then basically said, you are my people, and I am your God. And, I mean, I think that was when he established the bond, and, yeah, and his hand was on them, and the scriptures take off like that.
One thing that puzzles me is why the Apostle Paul ever said he was from the tribe of Benjamin. How did I thought those tribes by that time had been pretty well dissipated. Certainly anybody but Judah. So they still kind of maintained.
Yeah, I think they still maintain the 12, you know, kind of. I mean, because God makes a big deal about it.
Yeah, but I thought both of them were, you know, in Samaria or whatever.
I mean, because he said, oh, I'm going to have the 12 tribes sit on thrones,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that is carried through,
yeah,
all the way through. You know, and it is interesting, if, you know, he was sent to the non-Jews, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he was considered a Jew, but not Judean, right? They said tribe of Benjamin.
Well, if he is, but I guess that's true. If he was from the tribe of Benjamin, I don't know.
Yeah, so it's kind of it's an interesting thing. Oh, why would he have done that? You know,
now, there's not much significance to the inheritance by the time.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know, that all died off with the passing of the old covenant.
Mm. Right. Mm. Well, and it was,
Jesus's genealogy is important, but after that, not so much.
Well, yeah, just basically to make sure everything else was fulfilled.
Yeah.
And then after that, he said, yeah. Well, I mean, the starkest thing to me was, you know, the flip on blood. You know, how many times does the Old Testament say that they burnt offerings and it was a pleasing aroma to God? I mean, that phrase must be in the Old Testament 100 times. And then the New Testament comes along, and it's like, you think God really likes that stench? And you go, wait, for like 20 generations, it's been a good thing, and now it's bad? With no warning, no heads up? Like, you know, this might change. It was like, it changed, and you idiot, how come you don't know this? Which is, you know, oh, okay.
You expect fairness out of God, you've got a disappointment ahead of you.
He's in charge, you know, depending on all, you know, he can be as abrupt as he wants. But the first time I came across that and I registered, I went, you know, I understand why the Jews had troubles. Because they had been passed down from generation to generation to live like this. And here comes this Yahoo and just, like, levels it, you know. And, turns their entire history to rubble. And, you know, he's just not fitting the bill. You know, there wasn't enough fanfare at his coming. You know, we didn't hear horns or trumpets or anything. You know, all of a sudden some guy's talking on a hillside. You know, well, wait a minute. It's not my vision of what the Messiah was going to be like, you know. Expect to see him carted around on clouds from place to place. You know.
The chariot should be golden.
Yeah, yeah. It just was, yet it still fulfilled scripture in that, you know, there's nothing about what you would think of the natural to make this man.
God gave hints all along.
He did, yeah.
You know?
But you know how it is.
I will raise one up out of that. You know, it was all in the Old Testament.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know how it is, though. If we don't get reminders or pointers, over time we start to embellish and exaggerate.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's exactly what happened within the Jewish traditions, I think. It doesn't really say that.
Well, yeah, because they got to where they wanted to make themselves look like they really were holy. And so they'd add extra stuff, you know, like when they said they lengthened the ephods on their garment and put the thing up where the Word of God was before him all 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, you know, and then washing pots and pans and dishes and cups. And
yeah, you read the law, read the book of Leviticus, and you get the very distinct impression that God really likes the details.
Yeah.
You know, whew, those, you know.
And then having that many to follow, why would you want to add more for guys?
Yeah, you know.
I mean, they were trying to create the us and thems. And that's what that all was all about.
Well, they were in their flesh. I think they were in their flesh mind.
Well, right, yeah, and it wasn't spiritual in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I didn't get it.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, I'd be interested, you know, after you asked us to read that book, was there something that impressed you that you wanted to share? Or?
Well, it hit me. It just brought, it just brought realization, the strength of what God's going to do.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it just...
He must have left me off the list, huh?
Huh?
He must have left me out of a loop.
Well,
I don't feel bad.
No. I just opened up the Bible and I started reading in some of the prophets and I just kept going. And when I hit Zephaniah, the second chapter, but parts of the second chapter just hit me with realization that it's not a good thing to get involved with in the end times, you know.
Yeah, I read those prophets a lot, and every time I do, I get impacted by, you know, just some effect of it, of end times.
Yeah, and I read
God ain't gonna mess around, you know.
I read most of them, but that's the one that hit me the most, you know.
It's the last book, isn't it?
No,
Haggai.
Haggai and Malachi.
Oh, and then there's Zechariah. This is Zephaniah, right?
Zephaniah.
It's a little shorter, probably.
As opposed to Zechariah.
Right.
Well.
Yeah, it's not too long.
No, it's
only
not.
Three chapters.
No, it's not too long. It's
about a lot of stuff underlined in there in that book.
there's some meat in there. So I read it and I was listening, you know, I was thinking, okay, I wonder what impacted Glenn in it to point out to me, hey, you should just read this book. And, you know, I'm reading out loud to Susan and I'm going, this is not a really uplifting book. I mean, but then the Old Testament in general is more of a, you know, do what I tell you to do or it's bad.
Yeah.
And if you don't do what I tell you to do, it's going to be bad, bad. Then, you know, I was trying to make that comment Sunday where I said, you know, well, you look at the Bible and there's only a little bit and I go, three-fourths of the Bible is like, you don't do what I say and it's going to be bad. You know, read the Bible in a year, I was stunned that you didn't even get to the New Covenant till like the end of September. And I went, oh. And, you know, you kind of hold the Bible up and you look and you go, yeah, that's all right. Three to one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then there were even books that would start off as being like 18 chapters about, you know, long. And the first 15 would go like, if you don't die to do this, you are going to die the most horrible death you could possibly imagine. And then there'd be like two chapters of, but if you do this, things are going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. I'm going, you know, I'd like a little more of the emphasis of the positive than on the negative. That's kind of the way the Old Testament read to me. I mean,
I had a couple where they really stood out for today because, you know, one's in the first chapter. Verse 12, and it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in complacency.
Oops.
Yeah. Who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil.
Oh, yeah. That's the perfect scripture.
No idea.
You know, none of this is true. You don't have to worry about anything. We're fine.
But then, see, then there's a good part over in the last chapter, 9. For then I will restore to the peoples a pure language that they all may call on the name of the Lord to serve him with one accord. And I would say that that is directed by the Holy Spirit.
Oh, amen.
There are good things right at the end.
There's a bad. However, it's kind of like failure to do this, but the promise is good, which is an oversimplification, but that is it's kind of a common theme.
You know, you just can't skate through.
Oh, amen. Yeah, I mean, and we imagine as flesh people, we find every which way to do that. You know, well, what if we do this but not that? Or what if we do, you know, I mean, and we've been coming against these once saved, always saved. Or, you know, I've reached this point and I just don't need to do anymore. I mean, and we keep bumping into like, no, to my dying breath shall I seek you. Thought, word, and deed. You know, it's like there's no way to get around everything you are. Is required, and it's just.
As long as you live.
Yeah. Did you have a certain area that stood out?
Well, the whole thing kind of did in a way.
Yeah.
You know?
It does.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I'm just going through some of it now, reviewing it because I was right for a couple of days, but, you know, and of course I got just the regular King James Version, which I did before. I was in the New King James, so I'm reading the regular King James, and of course, wording's all different, but it means the same. But
yeah,
you know, that's why I'm reading it now, and I'm looking at.
Well, in fact, yeah, the script, the verse that you quoted, what was?
Oh yeah, it wouldn't have been the same
one,
for you.
Well, it was quite different. You 1:12, right?
Yeah.
1:12.
This is 1:12.
No.
Yeah.
1:12. No.
It says regular King James, and it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure.
That say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil.
So the only difference was lees instead of complacency.
And candles instead of
a candle instead of a lamp.
Yeah. But it was enough to, you know, subject to the sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, and then even this time, you know, in their hearts. They say in their hearts. So even if they're not, like, talking it up in the synagogue or the church or whatever, but they feel that way in their heart, you know, God's not really going to do this or God's not going to do that. And you convince yourself, yeah, there's really no retribution, good or bad. I mean, that is, if that isn't the recipe for complacency and losing your salvation, I don't know what is.
But what's the word complacency mean? Just kind of floating through life?
Yeah.
You know? I'm pretty satisfied with how your own
not
situation
going forward,
is.
Not going backward, you're just...
Well, and on your own leaves, that's kind of you just depending on you to take care of everything.
Yeah.
You know, kind of.
Yeah. In this sense, what I took it to mean is complacent in the sense that you don't need to search the word to learn anything else. You've got it all. You're complacent.
Right.
Just, you know, like, I don't need to do any more.
Yeah.
And then, and I, you know, we've been walking really hard against that.
Right. And if that's the way you're living, and you read this, you're going to realize, hey, it's ain't working.
Big mistake.
Yeah. And maybe that's
hopefully
why it
struck you'll realize.
So.
Yeah, well, when I read it, after you said, I said, well, I read out of this, this is pretty straight talk. Like, it's bad to just sort of, there's no repercussions for not doing what has been given to us to do. That's, I thought it was like pretty concise, like, yeah, this is not going to end well. And, you know, so.
You know, and I think, boy, there's a lot of people I know like that. I better put myself at the top of the list, though.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, even though you know what you're supposed to be doing, you're still on that list.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, amen. I mean, it died.
So, I mean, that's the way it was, you know.
Well, I think we were talking last week, pretty open and vulnerable to one another about, where do I think I really stand on this thought, word, and deed requirement, and am I doing all that I can do? Am I making choices to not do? I mean, you know, it's easy to go like, I could have done more. That's why in the world I used to have this thing in the ivory tower businesses where you have HR people and stuff. The really good thing was to tell the employee, write your own email or review. And so it forces you either to be a person of integrity or not, because you know when you really put out 100% and when you put out 90%. Or you put out 70%, or when you really did all you could, or when you really mailed it in.
I've had to do that.
Yeah. And it's a very challenging thing. I mean, because if you're trying to walk upright, and then someone says, okay, tell me how you did. Yeah, how did you do last year? Well, were you a 70%er? Were you a 90%er? Did you really give it your all every day? Well, no. No, I probably didn't do that. Yeah. Did I give a fair? Was my work effort fair? You know, it's. I found it. You know, now if you don't care, yeah, I was amazing. I believe I was the best person you had. And then he reads. He goes, well, you know, unfortunately, that doesn't line up with what I think. But, yeah.
This is the one that has that one verse that I really like. He will rejoice over you with singing. And that's the Lord, God, that it's referring to. I like that.
Yeah, wonderful, Jesus. Heavenly songs.
Well, you know, in chapter 2, where it starts out, gather yourself together. Yea, gather together, O nations not desired. Well, just the fact, gather yourselves together. You know, and that's what we're trying to do now.
Mm-hmm.
Gather ourselves together. I mean, it's almost like if we can't get ourselves together, how are we going to get others?
Mm-hmm. There's no question. We try to go it alone. It's a very dangerous path. Now, if you were in the wrong group, that's dangerous too. But
that's really true, and you know, you could even say a response that. Even Jesus didn't try and do that.
That's right.
I mean, even he knew, you know, he knew that going alone is not the plan. You know, so why shouldn't we, in our attempt to be more Christ-like, why shouldn't we decide not to go it alone and count on the Holy Spirit? Mm-hmm. Or remind ourselves, are you counting on the Holy Spirit here? Yes, yeah. I'm really, really am.
I was thinking about the Trinity here. Read something in connection with it. And, you know, it's an attempt to explain tightness and unity about, you know, as tight and unified as you could be. But it's man's attempt to explain that. You know, you have Jesus as a man, us as men, God as God, able to have such total tightness, unity, whatever. Man's explanation for that has to be, well, there's God in three persons or whatever. Whereas, no. that unity, that tightness can be there, even though you have God and men.
Because it's by my spirit, God says.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing that I'll make it all equal with,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That'll tie you in with my son and with me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what ties Jesus in with the Father? And
yeah, ties us in with him,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. You know, yeah, the Trinity just reeks of man's working it out in the natural.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I would have taken a more of a blue-collar approach. The Trinity is to explain three different things, and you call them three different things, and then say, but they all have really God power, so they all must be all gods. Yeah, something that, you know, even though the first commandment says there are no other gods.
Yeah.
I don't know how you kind of like.
I know it. That's what just.
you see so many things, and then the answer to that is,
yeah.
Oh, well, he doesn't mean it that way.
Yeah, I guess you did. Here's what you really meant, God.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Yeah, it's just a word trick. It's just, oh, wow, no, there is only one God. Three persons, but. No, it's only one God.
Yeah, so it's one God. It's three different manifestations of
Earth.
Oh.
But, you know, when you get the revelation that's in John 4, 6, is that, or whatever, where it says God is spirit. So if God is spirit, he can't be anything else. He can't be flesh. He can create flesh. He can be in flesh.
Yeah,
he is not flesh.
Yeah.
You know? He is spirit. So that right there, you can't have three, you know.
Yeah.
If that's right.
Well, if it says, I believe it means right. What it says.
Oh, yeah, I do too. I'm saying,
yeah. Right.
If that's what it really means.
Yeah. You choose to believe then, yeah.
Well, yeah.
That's why, I don't know, a few months back, I kind of, I was trying to, in my natural, figure out, how the heck I just missed all this? You know, how did I miss, I mean, where I was and where I am. And how did I miss that? You know, and obviously the first thing he goes, well, you didn't have the revelation. Certainly that's true. But the other side of that is, well, this is what the people I was trying to listen to were saying. And I'm not trying to find ways why they are wrong. I'm looking for ways to make sure that I'm getting aligned with what they say. And so, you know, so instead of saying, they don't know what they're talking about, you go, okay, well, then this must mean this, even though it kind of says that. But I'm not seeing that. And then, you know, we had to pay to answer for that. I don't quite get this. Put it on the shelf.
I think that's it. I think the solution to people's puzzlement over the Trinity is just to put it on the on the back burner.
God will, whatever difficulty you have with that will become clear,
mm-hmm.
You know, on the day of judgment. And you got, I often laugh, you know, even the Trinitarians that go, this is so important that it's never mentioned once in the Bible. It is so important. And then you go, well, doesn't the Bible kind of say that he wants us to know this? He wants us to find our way and find the truth? And then you would say, and the way to do that is to never, ever mention it.
Mm.
And that's how I keep you looking. But you know it's what it's saying. And you go, how in the face of that does it, you know, well, none of this is like jiving. You know, you work so, so hard. But to explain to me, I just wasn't going out of my way to go, they're wrong. You know? They're wrong. And because once you do that, you got to say, well.
And I'm a heretic.
Well, or I can't stay here because I'm not being fed because I think they're deceived. And I mean, how often have we heard good people, good heart, but they're just deceived?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to sit under that, or you don't want to be part of that. You know? But once you say, you know what? I'm open for God to show me what I need to know. And then things start happening, and you start getting this revelation, and that revelation, and this revelation, on top of that revelation, you go, boy, I was really thinking of this all wrong. You know, and it might have been more like what you were sort of thinking, but wasn't lining up with what was being said, and now you go, and, you know, you keep reading, you go, well, it's me and God and my salvation, so I better be paying attention to what I'm getting, listening to the prophets. But, it's going to be pretty lonely, you know, the book of life reading, you know, there's not a lot of people behind you going, yeah, yeah, somebody told me, so that's what I did. Yeah, I don't see that happening. I think it's going to be like one-on-one.
Going back to this thing and why I called you, a little testimony here. When McQuay was on dialysis every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and I'd call him and we'd talk. And we would share scriptures that we found and we'd share them back and forth, you know. And I guess when I read this, it kind of brought Dan to mind. I just thought I had to call somebody to just pass it on to read because it's what Dan and I did, mm-hmm. you know. And when Dan went home, that wasn't there anymore, you know. So it was.
Well, you can have a memory of any time you want, mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, no, that's good.
You know, it was just, you know, something mm-hmm. we did, and he's not here to do it with anymore.
Yeah. Was it? There was a place, I don't know if it was Nehemiah somewhere, where all of a sudden they discovered the book of books in the rubble.
They came back.
And then they rebuilt the wall and everything, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens to us. You know, you said, how come I didn't know? Well, one day he showed you the book of books.
Yeah. No,
I mean, he opened it. Didn't show you the whole thing at once, or me, but, you know, it's like, yeah, you're not going to get it till he reveals it, you know? And like, when they found that, well, that was the people at that time that he knew he wanted them to restore his name and his city and whatever, you know, rebuild, because they had a heart, and they were going to do it, you know, and completely do it, you know?
Actually, I think it occurred before the captivity. It was before Nehemiah and Ezra.
It might have been. I just couldn't come up with the name, but
yeah.
I mean it. But the walls had been for the city had been pretty much destroyed.
Yeah,
I believe.
They just.
I don't know. It could have been Jeremiah or Isaiah. No, it wasn't. I don't think it was them. But
it was one of the kings that did that.
What I found was. I found the book of the law, and as Isaiah said to Stephan, or Shephan, and 2 Chronicles 34:15, and the parallel scriptures in 2 Kings 22:8.
Okay, yeah.
So, I mean, those are the two, and I think that's the setting we're talking about. I remember them discovering this scroll, and I thought it was in the temple, but, they kind of started reading it, and everybody went, uh-oh. Yeah, I mean, they got the high priest, then he got the king, and said, oh, by the way, we are really nowhere near where we're supposed to be in here.
Yeah, that's true. I think it was a scroll, maybe.
And then, in typical Old Testament fashion, that king took a pretty good whack. Because it was discovered on his watch, even though several people had not been doing that.
Yeah.
So.
I think it was King Josiah who was repairing the temple, and somebody was working on doing the cleanup in there found the scroll. The book, and funny how that happens.
I think it the parallels to modern day life, I think, are too numerous. To
yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, I realize I should be doing this.
Right. A lot of people carry it under their arm, but.
Yeah. It is sinier. You know, when you spend some time in the Old Testament like that, and you keep hearing all these, God just, he would name every little thing, like, you know, I'm going to wipe this and you do this, and he goes on and on about when they're wrong and then how they can be right. And then you come to the New Testament covenant, it's nothing like that, you know?
Different deal.
Except Jesus preaching like, things like the Sermon on the Mount, and all of a sudden it's not like, it's like you love your enemy, you know? Doesn't have to be a nation, it's you. It's yeah, it's like it, and he doesn't bring as many, well, they're not strong condemning things, that, but there are strong, what's the word we use when we get
conviction.
Convictions, you know.
I find the instructions, what we're supposed to do from the Sermon on the Mount, just plain impossible.
Yeah.
Plain impossible.
Right.
Maybe, you know, those things in the Old Testament, they were hard but possible.
Yeah, I suppose.
Just plain impossible.
Yeah.
Without the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Yeah.
We just we're talking about a different deal than what we are there in that Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
It's something.
But if we keep reading it and keep it in our minds and hearts, slowly we'll find out. Maybe I'm starting to do some of this. I'm starting to be some of this, is what it should be.
I would like it to be quick, and I it might be. I don't
know. You know, if I can order it up the way I'd like it to be, yeah.
We would mess that up.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe so. Maybe so.
Well,
yeah, they said the quick work will I do with my people. Say a slow work I will do, you know.
Well, you know, and the thing is, a quick work, I mean, you can go 30 years and then there's a quick work.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And then it's done.
Yes, that's right.
So it's not like I'll do a quick work over 10 years. That wouldn't even make sense, mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, you can have a dam. That is in the process of deteriorating and whatever over, you know, 50 years, whatever. And then, poof, it breaks, and it takes about 45 seconds for that thing to break.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's been deteriorating.
Well, we went a long ways from Magog to
well, maybe we haven't gone very far from it.
I heard an interesting thing. Someone, I think it was an author that people would have known in England. You know, he, I don't know that he was a philosopher or something, but he was someone that people would have had a high regard for. He made a quotation. He said, "There's one book that has caused more atheists to exist than any other book in the entire world." Actually, it was in the form of a kind of a quiz question. What was that book that he was talking about? And the answer is the Bible. Which, you know, on the one hand, but it, you know, I get it.
Oh, yeah. If you don't like what it's saying, you're going to go the opposite way.
Yeah.
You
know. Yeah, yeah. And there is a whole lot in the natural not to like.
Yeah.
In the Bible.
Yeah.
You know? It,
where is this self-gratification?
To be accountable? What do you mean?
Yeah. Is this going to make me feel good? I don't want it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Is this all like fun?
No. But that is the natural man's reaction to at least a lot that is in here.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he called them lots of times. You are a rebellious people. Mm-hmm. Stiff-necked. Rebellious people. Mm-hmm. Yes, I was. And still in, and in some degrees.
Yeah. Just a lot of, get a lot of reminders just how difficult this is in some levels. Straight is the way, narrow is the path. Many are called, few are chosen. You know,
it's an element of that. Yeah.
Much is given to much is much is required. I mean, if you look at it in the wrong light, the more time you do this, the gloomier it gets. It's like, wait a minute, you gotta balance that with. The more light you've been given, the more glory you can experience.
Yeah. Well, we didn't sign up for an easy thing. Except, you know, his burden is easy. It is, how's it go?
Yoke is light.
Yoke is light, sure.
Yoke is light. Well, it's kind of like there's one set of rules, and this is the goal. And to get that goal, this is the rules. And I'd come back and say, yeah, I did sign up for that because that's what I'm trying to get to, and this is the way. And but I mean, the book is written so, you know, no matter where you start, there's always ways to jet in the middle of a path. I mean, you might have been 58 years walking or 65 years doing all you could do. Nothing wrong with that. That's good. You know, glory to that, you know. But then there's a guy who can be like, you know, 30 seconds from going home and says, forgive me, and he's in. And you go. You know, that's why I think that one parable's in there about, I hired him for the very beginning, and I hired these guys just before quitting time, and both got the same prize. What's it to you? Like, Jesus turns to Peter. What's it to you if this is what I do? Got a good point there. I have nothing to say.
Yeah.
And the book of Job is, you know, Job has had his life tore upside down and left to right. And at the end of the day, you know, he's just asking questions. You know, why is this? And then, you know, God comes, has a conversation with him, and by the time he's done, Job realizes he wasn't even right in asking him a question. He just says, you know, I'm just going to sit here. You know, and kind of like what happened to the apostles, you know, they just said, and from this day on, no one ever even asked a question. Whatever he wants to tell us is good, and we'll consider it food, but I'm not going to be poking the bear. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's a bad way to turn that phrase, but it's like, I'm going to trust that he's going to tell me what I need to know, and whatever little dumb thing comes into my head, probably don't need to know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So, I guess that was it. Yeah, they stopped asking him questions.
Mm-hmm. And like I've shared more than once, and what was Job's mistake? What was he doing wrong? Absolutely nothing. In fact, he was doing it so well, he was singled out, and the enemy says, well, of course he's happy. God says, yeah, have at him, just can't do this. But do everything else. And I'm thinking, here's a guy doing all he can to walk right, and then he's going to suffer all of this just because, you know, somebody, and excuse my phraseology, but someone goaded him into something. Yeah, so, you know, we have a little staff meeting. Said, well, yeah, you're protecting him. Ah, I know his heart. He's good. Poor Job, just mind his own business, serving God. Yet, you know, at the end, though, twice, and the reward was given to him. And so, you know, but so whenever I feel I've really gotten a bad turn, I kind of go, I don't know. I could think of people who had it worse, you know. Keeps me in line.
Would have been a whole lot easier on Job if he had known, hey, this only can last, I don't know how long it lasts.
Yeah.
21 days, but real. You know, he didn't know that.
No, he did not know. Mm. I mean, what everybody says, just curse God and die.
Right. And his wife.
Yeah. Yeah. Your closest person to you on this planet says, you must have done something wrong. Just curse God and die. Put yourself out of your misery, whatever you did, because God certainly wouldn't allow this to happen to you.
I forget what happened to her at the end. Maybe she was in there receiving all that double blessing too.
I don't know. Well, they got some more kids. They got more kids.
Yeah, they kind of did.
Well, maybe they came from a different wife, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's the same wife.
It wasn't the same wife, huh?
Okay. Yeah, on some levels, all of Job's friends got a serious talking to at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But she said do this, and I don't recall that she came in for the same sort of smackdown.
But I the role of women.
I haven't read Job in a while. I have to be in a reasonably good place of mind to go through that. It's a long book. I mean, it's
a hard book to read.
It's hard, yeah. It's long.
It's very hard to read.
And yeah, and then you kind of go through it. You go, man.
But I thought Joe's wife was killed.
That was Lot's wife, I bet you're thinking of.
No, but
you think Joe's wife?
I thought he lost his family.
Somebody lost their whole family.
I thought it was Joe.
One of them. Well, he lost his kids.
I lost my kids.
Well, I could be wrong, but just
he lost children for sure. I thought he lost everybody. Yeah. But I'm not positive if the wife was in that or not. Think about that, what she said. Now,
come on.
You're going to curse God. Not a good plan.
No, that's not a good idea.
Yeah, curse him and then just die. Well, yeah, you probably want to. Before you got the full.
Well, let's see. So the Lord blessed the last days of Job more than the first. For he had a whole bunch of sheep, a whole bunch of camels, a whole bunch of oxen, a whole bunch of she-asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. They were real pretty.
Is it at the end?
It's very end.
But somewhere in there,
it doesn't say who the mother is, but
somewhere in there, when he's having stuff taken away, is where it was.
Well, she did say,
I mean, God was taking stuff away from Job as a test,
yeah, right.
All his possessions, and I think his children died. And
oh, they did, yes, a whole bunch of them, yeah.
In that area there, I was wondering if it includes the wife.
Said the wife I think the wife has survived all that stuff, and that's when she told him, curse God and die.
Yeah, wasn't the very beginning where God told Satan, you can do everything but, and then I thought it was like, couldn't kill Job and you couldn't kill his wife. That's what I thought. But I'm... It's kind of, yeah, it's...
He was unanswered by that, what went on with that woman.
Well, I mean, it says, Lord 1:12 said, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, meaning Satan. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So it singled out him only. And then the next thing goes on to say, Satan went forth, and then sons and daughters were eating and drinking, and it'll end up... He took him away. But it doesn't say about the wife. Later on, his wife says, you know, you should curse. So she didn't die, but what do I read here says she was fair game. So I have to look.
She was what?
She was fair game.
I
the Lord didn't say,
go ahead and look. I don't know if you're going to get an answer.
You can't harm Job or his wife. It said you cannot harm Job. Everything that he had,
yeah.
That Old Testament, I mean, his wife, he would have been considered his property, or he hath her. So, the way I read that, I would have thought that if Satan wanted to take his wife as well, he could have. And that would, he would have been following God's decree. But
I think he was getting his boils and everything here. And it was after that that the wife said, curse God and die.
Somewhere. I'm just trying to remember. Was it him? Was it her? Or was it one of his wonderful friends? That's it.
That said, curse God and die?
Yeah.
It was the wife.
It was her, yeah.
Well, I thought it was. But,
well, they said, they implied almost the same thing, but they didn't say it that way.
Well, I think they were saying, hey, you did something real bad.
Yeah, they were.
That's in chapter 2:9. And he said to his wife, dost thou still retain thy iniquity? Curse God and die. Job 2:9.
Yeah.
Huh?
Okay, so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it says, and he said to his wife, yep.
Yeah.
So she said it.
Yep.
So at the end, you know.
See what? In 13, I read where it said at the eldest brother's house, you know, and I guess I didn't quite catch that part, and I thought it was at Job's house when they all died. But yeah. Oh yeah, she didn't die.
Yeah. That we know of.
At least until 2:9.
Right. Yeah, he was still around at that point. And I think it was after that that he started, he got his boils. I mean, it was before that. He got his boils. Yep, verse 7 in chapter 2, it says, Satan departed and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet to his crown. He scraped them and sat down among the ashes, and then that's when the wife said, curse God and die.
You could see a wife saying that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
for justifiable reasons.
In the natural, hey, things are going pretty good. What did you do? What did you do?
It must be your fault.
Things are going really well. What did you do? Because I know I didn't do anything.
Oh, sure, you insisted on serving God.
Yeah. Did you not go to? Did you not pray enough last week?
I do like his response. Speaketh like a foolish woman. What? Shall we receive good at the hands of the Lord and not receive evil?
Well, that's some understanding, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, that's a heart for God that's unshakable.
Yeah.
Which is the heart we want, right?
Yes. That kind of goes along with the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh.
Amen.
And if you can stand with that, you know.
And the thing is, Lord, let me be able to say that.
Yes, that's right. Well, yeah, we can talk a good talk.
About Peter. I would never deny thee.
Right.
Yeah.
Sitting in your comfortable chair at home.
Yeah.
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 And do you love me, Peter?
Exactly.
Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep.
Yeah, we do need to remember.
You love me, Peter?
Example of Peter, right?
Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lambs. And you love me, Peter? Can you imagine about that time?
Oh, Lord.
What he felt like?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, no. You gotta hear his voice. Other apostles, Lord. Come on.
Yeah, Lord, you know I don't know what you mean by that.
Feed my sheep.
Embarrassing me in front of my peeps.
Yeah.
And he says, the day is going to come when they'll take you by the hand and you won't want to go.
Yeah. Deny me thrice.
So I may be led by this wheelchair someday. Into a Chinese factory or something. Well, I'll tell you real briefly what my problem was. I had a problem. It was Ezekiel 37. I started the other morning, I saw that as a prophecy that I've never seen. The book of Ezekiel and the dry bones and so forth was a prophecy of Christ. And it was followed by 38 and 39, which was the destruction of the nations that have destroyed the Jews. And Magog and some of these countries. Japheth was the son uncovered his dad's nakedness, and a curse was put on him. And so, we don't know where Jacob, what happened to Japheth's kids. We don't know anything about him. But he had a son named Magog, which was, the Bible in the 38th and 39th chapter of Ezekiel, it starts to talk about a little bit about him, and what they did, and so forth, and Togarmath, and some of the, these are nations that came out of Noah from his kids. Not all of them, because I didn't get a chance to find out if it's all of them, but it's at least some of them. And the ark rested supposedly in Turkey, somewhere. And Turkey is not too far away from Russia.
Oh, they border each other.
Yeah, it's right in that area, Poland and whatever. And if Russia gets control of those nations under Biden, they're going to reach, he can't. He'd be in a place to go up and do what 38 and 39 says. And something in me says that the day is coming that Russia is going to do that.
They're kind of acting it out now.
And this could be a few. I doubt that I'll be alive when it happens, but you guys might be, some of you. And when it does, God's going to take care of Russia and possibly Germany and some of the nations that killed his people. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've thought that for years. And right now I say it more so than ever. And I don't have enough real information to say anymore. But I just a feeling. But that's the way God is.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I see Putin up in somewhere, I think of him. I think he don't know how close he is. Or what he's going to feel like with a hook in his nose. Because that's what it says, that God's going to put a hook in his nose and bring the hordes of people up to Israel. And they're going to have an evil thought in their heads. They're going to go up and destroy Israel. And I think, I'd love to see it. But is that a bad thing? Would that be bad to say that thought?
Well, wrap up of the ages.
No, but would it be bad for me to say I'd like to see it?
No, I don't think it would have, because it would mean that the end is right. Mm.
It's better to see it than to partake of it.
Yeah.
You got that going for you.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, Glenn. I wouldn't want to be in the middle of it.
No.
I wouldn't even want to be on the edge of it.
Sure. Blood up to the horses, bridles.
Yeah, I don't even know if I'd want to watch it on TV. But more than likely, if that day comes, as I think it will, I doubt that I'll be alive.
Who knows? Who knows?
And it could be in a couple of days.
Yeah.
I think it's a toss-up between Russia and China.
Well, they could be in cahoots, too.
They could be partners.
But you look at all the land that China's buying in California.
But if China and Russia went up there together, and they killed off five-sixths of their armies. They're going to shoot each other. Well, the Chinese and the Russians would easily do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they may be God.
Yeah. And I don't know. How do I know?
No, we don't know. Unless the Holy Spirit shines light on it, it's foolish for us to pass any kind of very definite opinion.
Good place to end.
Okay. So,
unless the Holy Spirit shines light, we don't know.
Sure.
Love you all.